Namaste. It's wonderful to see you all. This is a school for the study of the world's wisdom, both the ancient wisdom traditions and the modern wisdom and the wisdom that is within us all, that we simply have to dig deep enough inside to find and bring out and share. And along with wisdom, the capacity for love. In other words, it's a school for human growth, emotional, psychological, spiritual growth. And growth involves pain. And it's because growth involves pain that we're still a very small school after all these years. It's the last thing on most people's agenda to grow up. When all else fails, then they'll try learning something new and digging in beneath the behavior patterns and addictions and fears and anxieties and all of that that no longer permit life to go on as usual. And the mask falls away and people have to face what's really going on. And then the healing can begin. As long as we can stay in denial, people will do it because the human ego takes the easy way out. So when all else has failed you, you may end up in a place like this. I happen to be the oldest student here and the slowest. You see, I'm still studying and learning. Many people have already left. They've graduated. I'm still here. So my punishment is that I have to talk, you see, and explain all of this to people. One day I'll get it. But in the process of the of working with people and learning and helping to observe and perhaps facilitate their growth, I also grow in that process. So I get probably the most benefit out of the school. And I get also the incredible joy of being able to see the growth of the incredibly beautiful divine beings that each one of us is. And to go past the sadness and the tragedy of people not recognizing it and not being able to live from that place of joy and beauty because it's covered over with defense mechanisms and fear and even fake happiness, even the pretend kind of pleasures and joys that mask the real one because there's too much unbearable pain in between the fake happiness and the real, and so they don't dig the well deep enough to find the real source of joy and bliss that's here for all of us. So in a way, the yogis who have gone deep enough to touch into that bliss in our hearts are also able to give testimony to the fact that it's worth it to go through the pain of growth, of facing the shadow and processing the unconscious mind and its fantasies and false beliefs and traumas in order to reach the Satchitananda that we talk about, that yogis have been declaiming for thousands of years is our true nature. Being and awareness, intelligent, wakeful awareness, and the bliss of pure love. That's who we really are. But because we have forgotten that and it's been covered over by the sediments of pain, whether over just in this lifetime or perhaps many, many lifetimes, we live in a state of eclipse of the divine light that is within us. But the more that we are able to move through that shadow of death fearlessly, and it is easier to do that in the company of a community, a transformational community that shares that same journey and therefore can have compassion and a sense of community, the easier it is to go through that darkness, knowing that there is a dawn at the other end, and we can hurry that dawn. We can accelerate our own arrival at the light. And it's worth it to make that journey, because that's really the whole function of our human existence. If we don't make that journey, we haven't fulfilled our reason for being here. And then we have to come back and do it all over again. And you don't want to do that. Take my word for it. Especially nowadays. So why not reach liberation here and now? It's possible. And in this school, we help you to answer two kinds of questions. Questions that emerge from the personal I and questions that emerge from the we, the collective. Often people start out more in the we. The questions like, what can we do to help the world in its current crisis? What can we do to help the planet, to help restore the balance in nature and in human society? But the more pressing question is really the I. What can I do to resolve my own torment, my own inability to control my own life and to be in a state of peace and serenity and a state of clarity, of sattva, of enlightened awareness that brings a state of harmony with all of those who I'm in life with. But because we are governed by scripts that we ourselves actually didn't create, we found ourselves through childhood when scripts were imposed on us, playing out roles that we didn't invent but that we feel obsessed with fulfilling. And so these same kinds of patterns over and over again repeat themselves. And we find ourselves, even though the role we're in may be that of a villain or somebody we don't like at all, we find ourselves acting out these roles, saying things that we ourselves are witnessing and saying, wow, why did I just say that, you know? But we can't stop ourselves. In a sense, we find ourselves the puppet and wonder, who's the puppeteer back here? Who's pulling my strings? And in a sense, until we have the knowledge of who's behind the conscious I and can get control of that figure and that agenda and that script, we indeed are forced to suffer the slings and arrows of our own outrageous creation. We are the authors of our karma and our misery, but only in the sense that we are continuing a process that was authored by some other that we do not know. Because we were born into the world inheriting the unconscious scripts of our parents and playing the roles in the family system that we were mandated to fulfill, and the roles that society offered in its very limited discourse of what our possibilities are. And so we had to make a choice from column A or column B, but there was no column C, and there were no other alternatives. And so we felt that our choices were very limited. And then the more you have made those choices, then the more your free will gets cut at each point. There's less and less margin. And much of what was our original freedom becomes repressed and lost underneath the agendas of these scenarios, these structures of fantasy, these templates, these matrices that we are forced to live within. And so we have to break out of that into a state of freedom once again. But it's very difficult for an individual to gain that freedom when you are yourself the warden and the one who keeps you in the prison. You are the prison. The ego itself is the prison, you see. And so the ego can't get itself out of prison. The thief, you know, can't catch the thief. And so this is the problem, that the more that you try to make effort to achieve liberation, the more the unconscious mind will sabotage it and undo it, and the more there's backlash, and the more there is suffering, and false ideas that, it's hopeless, I give up, I can't do it, that sense of depression and failure and weakness and all of the negative self-talk that tends to go on in the mind after your umpteenth New Year's resolution that this time it'll be different, and it isn't. But it can only be different when we have the keys of wisdom and when we have people who are outside of the system of the ego, who are not playing into it by not fulfilling the projected role demands that we put on them, who can then help to awaken one to one's inherent power to free oneself from these processes that are trans-individual because they are family system-based at first, but they are the whole society is part of the larger system. And even the discourse of language itself creates limitations on our ability to think because we think with words. But our modern languages don't even have words for the concepts that we need to break free into our true consciousness. And that's one of the reasons why we have to learn to meditate, because we need to go beyond the mind. Because language itself, which is what the mind is, a tissue of words and images, it is a prison. It doesn't allow us to enter the field of eternity, the field of the awesome presence of the non-dual self, the self that is beyond the distinctions of subject and object, of being and non-being. And to enter into that state in which we are absolutely centered in our real being. Because only in that state of complete centeredness is one beyond all of the circumscribing scripts and agendas and psychic toxic waste from the past that has been sedimented in the soul. And from that point, there is freedom. If we can live in that central point of our being, we can dissolve all of these grooves of the record that are holding us in and create a new kind of experience of the radiance of our true being and live in freedom. And so in this school here, we practice doing that through meditation and through the refutation of the ego's false beliefs and through the recognition of the messages that we receive every morning, usually from our unconscious mind in the form of dreams, and from the karmic messages we receive, sometimes inscribed in our body in the form of symptoms that are telling us about unconscious conflicts, and in our karmic clashes with people during the day, all of which are actually blessings in disguise. If we can understand and approach our lives as a waking dream and interpret that dream with wisdom, we can then modify that dream. We can become lucid dreamers. And then collectively, the dream of life on earth can be transformed. We can create such an energy field of unconditional love that we can have an effect on literally the energy field of everyone. Because we are all connected, we are all one. There's an entanglement, and there's a magnetic energy which flows through all of us and intersects the lives of all of us, because we are all ultimately emanations of a single cosmic intelligence. And once we have touched into that cosmic intelligence within our own, what we think of as our own body, even though it turns out this is only one of all the bodies of this single intelligence. But when you touch into it in that particular organism that you may be currently identified with, you reach a state that is beyond any particular organism and realize that you, yourself, your very own innermost being is present in every organism, in every body, in everything, in the universe as a whole. You are there. You are all of it. And once that realization occurs, then the egocentricity has nothing to stand on any longer. The ego falls. It dissolves. And a new way of being that is holocentric and theocentric and cosmocentric takes the place of the ego's agendas, because it's far more coherent to live from that place. From the higher chakras, as we say. It makes more sense, and it contains more power. It contains more subtlety, more vibrational capacity to penetrate through the masks and the ruses and the falsenesses of the egoic charade and enter into the heart of reality not only into the heart of your own and of other individuals, but of the greater reality. And to live from that heart enables one to be a conduit of the love and the bliss that is always being showered upon the earth, but we don't feel it. And to be able to be a messenger and a conduit of that energy is in itself the most powerful act of positive karma that one can do. So, because we are now in a critical moment in the Earth's history, in the whole evolutionary trajectory of nature herself, time is very short for this transformation to occur that is necessary for humanity to reach a level of consciousness that will enable us to survive the challenges that we now face. And so the soul of all of us and the human species is in the balance at this moment. And the choice that we make as to what we're going to live for, whether for the individual illusory ego's pleasures and even duties, that third of Buddha's temptations of dharma, are we going to live for any of those three, in fact, kama, mara, or dharma? Or are we going to go for the Buddha dharma? Are we going to go for the liberation that will actually be the greatest gift that can liberate planetary consciousness? That's the choice that each of us is faced with making. And in our own hearts, our own conscience, our own innermost state of being, in the middle of the night, when no one else is around, and we have to face ourselves, and if we can't sleep, or if we can't feel comfortable in our own skins, then it's probably because we haven't yet made a commitment to that choice. And we haven't surrendered the ego to God in order to feel the flow of the divine energy that is here for us. So that's a question that each one has to face in their own conscience. Well, once that decision has been made, that the meaning of life has to transcend that of the ego's pleasures, because it's not very happy anyway, then the spiritual journey begins in earnest, and we can be of some help to you then, I think. And the wisdom that has been gathered by all of the spiritual traditions and that is available to us today is unprecedented in its power and its capacity to help us to transform rapidly and in a massive kind of way. Whereas before it was really for the elite of those who were renunciates and monks and those who were willing and able to travel to the jungles and the caves and the high Himalayas and find the spiritual masters. But the only true master really is within, and all of us have access to that master if we're willing to surrender and willing to discipline our minds and our egos to achieve the consistent connection to the divine energy. And what we've discovered here is that three processes are useful to interweave together. One is the practice of meditation, which is a methodic, unitive concentration on the very center and source of your being in a state of silence, with absolute commitment to reaching the central point of your consciousness. And if you sit in that state long enough, whether you have faith in God or not, whether there is devotion or not, if you will do this with the power of your will to achieve this, gradually you will feel the energy field lightening. If you have devotion, it'll happen more easily. It will happen because of the love and the desire. But even if one sits without any of that, it will bring to you a change in the energy field, and a sweetness and a love and a light will move through you and will transform gradually the entire energy field And what you thought of as you, as who you were, will dissolve in this field of joy and of peace that is wordless and that no longer identifies with a corporeal organism as its being and goes beyond the ideology of the materialistic, scientistic brainwashing that we've all been through in school. And there will be a realization that the entire universe is consciousness, and we are that. And that this consciousness is also divine love, and that everything in the universe is simply an expression of that love. And then fears fall away. And all of the futile agendas of the ego also fall away, and one is left in the emptiness that is filled with the presence of God. So that's what our institute is about. If any of you have any questions, I think now would be a good time to ask them. And we'll try to answer them as best as possible. Mm-hmm.